Cozy TV.
Well, I'm actually disappointed that it's Friday because I got three shows to do in one show, but I'm obviously not going to be able to do it. This is an important show. It's going to continue on Monday, and it's addressed to those of you who feel deficient, you feel guilty, you don't have the desire to study, to read the Bible. The Bible is honestly one of the most difficult books in the world to read. It's probably one of the most boring books in the world to read. And so you don't like to read it. Who does? Back in your Christian days, you used to have to force yourself to read 15 minutes a day because you didn't feel holy or spiritual unless you were doing that. I'm telling you, you have to be called of God to wrestle with the Word of God. I know there are some of you out there who do that and you love to do it. I'm talking about those who don't love to do it and who beat themselves up over it and who feel guilty about it. Now, I remember when I was traveling with Dan Sheridan, he used to say, "You're going to read your Bible once a year." And he used to drive me crazy with that. I used to challenge him on it. Like, why would somebody need to read the entire Bible once a year? I mean, why would you need to read the Old Testament at all? And I'm serious about it. I mean, I've read it, yes. But you see, God raises up teachers for a purpose. And the weird thing is, Dan Sheridan got to the point where he didn't even believe that teaching was a thing. Sheridan was a strange guy. Listen, we had some great times together. We did radio together. We did conferences together. We traveled together. And I love the man. I haven't talked to him in a while. I don't know what he's doing. Ever since he went off the reservation with the sovereignty of God, didn't believe in it anymore. Then he gave up on Paul. Paul does not have a distinct evangel. We're all going to stay on the earth. All this, I don't know how far he went with the Acts 28 thing. But, I mean, in my mind, Sheridan just blew up and went off. And I didn't have the guts, I'll be honest with you. I just didn't have the nerve. I didn't want to know. I didn't want to ask him. How could you go from believing in the complete sovereignty of God, and then 2 weeks later, you're an open theist, saying that God doesn't know everything? I didn't see how it was possible. And then, you know, he just always challenged people, read your Bibles, read your Bibles, read your Bibles. And I mean, if somebody's challenging you to do it, and if you're forcing yourself to do it, you might say then, well, I'll finish that sentence. If you're forcing yourself to do it, then I'm not sure what value it is. And you'd have to ask yourself, then, well, why does God raise up teachers? Exactly. God inspires teachers so that they can teach other people. And it's a teacher that brings you the Word of God, reads the Word of God, interprets the Word of God, and telling you to follow up. Speaking of myself, I put the verses on the screen, and this is my job, because I knew that there was a need for this. But I can't tell you how many people have apologized to me. They apologized almost for watching my show. They said, "Martin, you're the one who gives me my meat, my food for the day." And they're, like I say, almost apologetic about it because they feel they should be digging through the scriptures themselves. And I'm tempted to say, "What are you trying to do? Work me out of a job?" No, listen, I'm all for people, of course, reading the scriptures, especially the 13 letters of Paul. Read the Bible every year. You know, and this is weird because Sheridan did this. No one read the Old Testament more than Dan Sheridan. Well, then what happened? He gave up on Paul's distinct gospel. Gee, maybe it's not such a great thing to read the freaking Old Testament and all the curses associated with not doing the law. Why would anyone force themselves to barrel through that? I mean, it's dangerous. Unless you know that there are two gospels and you're reading it for the historical context. And, of course, there's great advice for living in the Proverbs. And there's great types of Christ, of course, in the Psalms and in the prophets and Isaiah, and we glean a lot from Daniel as far as the end time scenario. But to shame people, which is what Dan would do, he would shame people for not reading their Bibles. Why aren't you more like me? That's what Dan would. He wouldn't say that overtly, but it was always like Dan set himself up as the ideal read the Bible once a year guy. And I mean, the guy knew his scriptures like nobody I've ever seen. He had almost a photographic memory. When I was doing the show with him in Indianapolis, it was so comforting having him sitting across where you are now. Dan would sit across the table from me, both in Chicago at WLS in Chicago and in Indianapolis, WBRI 1100 or whatever the hell it was. And to see that guy over there, knowing that he was a font of references, and he, if ever I would fumble or miss something, boom, Sheridan was right there. He's like encyclopedic in knowledge. But when you look at it now, when he's given up on the sovereignty of God and Paul's gospel, you have to ask yourself of what, how did that serve him? Reading Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. I mean, all of God's word is written for you, but it's not all written to you. And as I'm going to show you, probably not till Monday, I wish I could do it today. I would love to talk to you for an hour and a half today. Many of you would also love that. But 2 Timothy is really written to Timothy. It's a specific letter for teachers, and it doesn't apply to everybody. There are many things in 2 Timothy that don't apply to everybody. And I want to explain that to you so that those of you who feel like you feel lesser than, you feel like you're not good enough because you don't have the burning desire to read the Word of God, study the Word of God. I can just watch Martin Zender for 30 minutes. Yay, Martin's exciting. He presents it in an interesting way. He's got a different background every day, and I love it. Yes, that's why God raised me up to do this for you. And every single day I bring you the scriptures. Haven't done it yet today, but I'm going to. Sometimes we just talk. We talk about the scriptures. And let me tell you, one of the hardest parts of the job is like putting the references up on the screen. I mean, it takes time to do that. It sounds like a small thing, but I'm telling you, the job would be a lot easier if I didn't have to back myself up with scripture. So I do that for the sake of those of you who don't want to or can't or don't feel led to. And, you know, Clyde Pilkington gave a great talk in Washington State. I think it was back in 2014. And Dean Wilkinson inspired it because Dean Wilkinson had told Clyde that he felt guilty for so many years. And I think Dan Sheridan was part of the reason that Dean Wilkinson felt guilty. He shamed him into not reading his Bible. And Dean would say, I just don't feel adequate to study the scriptures like you guys do. You know, they always set us up like we're some great people who study the Word of God all the time. We're not. It's just a calling. We're not great people. It's just a calling. That's what it is. No different than anybody else. It's just a special calling that not everybody hears the call. Not everybody has it. And not everybody's meant to have it. Why would there be teachers unless there were people to teach? And why would there be people to teach except they need teachers? It's a beautiful thing that God has arranged. Everybody's doing their part. I'm teaching, you're learning. What a great combination. You're doing your job, I'm doing my job. It's fantastic. What's not to like? And why should you be ashamed of yourself? Why should you feel lesser than? And why should you even come close to apologizing for getting your sustenance, getting your exhortation 30 minutes a day on this show. I mean, not just my show, but others as well. But since this is my show and I'm talking on my show, I'm talking about myself. But this is not exclusive. I'm not saying like I'm the only person you get information from, but I'm talking about my calling at this time. So this is a big deal. And yesterday's show kind of had to do with that too. It's just those of you feeling forlorn, again, feeling stomped down, feeling like the dregs of society, the offscouring of all things, pond scum, when in actuality, as I said yesterday, you are sacred, you're holy, you're separated, you're called apart. You belong to God, to the family of God, and the celestials know more about you than you know about you. That's what I tried to tell you yesterday, that they are so overly fascinated in your life, where you're sick of your life. You're bored with your life. You're disgusted with your life. But there are spiritual beings looking down upon us. Paul says, remember, we're a theater to messengers and to humans, and really envying us because, again, they see what God is preparing for us. They glimpse behind the curtain every now and then to see what God is preparing for us. So what I want to do today, and probably I wish tomorrow was a weekday, but it is what it is. I want to go into Colossians and show you how people get the truth. And then I'm going to show you Paul's call of Timothy and Paul's desire that there would be a teacher and teachers in the future to teach people. And I also want to tell you that the scriptures were unavailable. This is the talk that Clyde gave based on Dean Wilkinson's complaint that, man, I'm feeling guilty that I don't read the Word of God, but Clyde helped me. And Clyde gave a great talk about how the resources for hundreds of years, no one had Bibles. The Catholic Church had a chokehold on the scriptures, and hardly anybody had a copy of the Bible. There were no concordances. There were no commentaries. I mean, people relied on word of mouth, and it was word of mouth from teachers. Even in Paul's day, I mean, the Ephesians didn't get Paul's letter to the Romans, and the Romans didn't get his letter to the Ephesians, and Galatians didn't get the letter to the Corinthians. I mean, I don't know the details of when these letters were assembled into the scriptures. That's other people's area of expertise. They can tell you how these individual books got to be the scriptures. I can't. I'm not really interested in it. I just know that the books that are supposed to be there are there. You can go find that information somewhere else. I'm sure there are people who are experts at how the Word of God came to be, but I'm just interested in the Word of God itself. I have a passion for it, as you know, and other people do too. But if you don't have a passion for it, then you need to relax. You need to go easy on yourself and realize that this is why God raises up teachers. And I'm going to go to Colossians and 2 Timothy. But first of all, I have to show you this. I say to our friend Keith. Keith said he ordered me some chocolate and he was worried about it because he said, look, it showed like it was delivered, but you haven't gotten it yet. And I want Keith to know that I have received your chocolate, sir, and I'm actually going to take the time to try one online here on the show. I just got it today. I've never heard of this. Tony's Choco Lonely. Tony's Choco Lonely. Never heard of it, but Keith, it got here. Keith is the one who calls himself Kiefer. And I'm going to address a problem that Kiefer has that he expresses publicly. Keith wonders why God loves him. He thinks that God is just doing his duty for loving him. He's starting to understand. Keith has made great progress, and he's talked about this publicly on the comments. Keith has made great progress in understanding what God has done for him through Christ and what he will do for him through Christ. Remember that word yesterday that we studied, the commitment. What was that word yesterday we studied? Where's my notebook? Hang on. What was that word? It was a great word. Is it the word commitment? Confirm. That's it. I knew it started with a C. Confirm. Confirm. To tell someone that something has happened or will happen. And we've been confirming what God is going to do, what God and Christ have done for us and what they will do for us. And Keith has come to understand this. But what he can't understand yet, if I'm getting him right, if I'm understanding his main problem, is that he thinks that God is just feeling obligated to do it, and that God's not necessarily happy about it. Oh, I had to kill my son for Keith. But I want Keith to know, and anybody else who wonders why God would do this, I'm trying to decide whether to give you the answer to that query or try the chocolate first. Let me give you the answer. Keith and anyone else who wonders why God would do this for us. God set it up this way. It's not like God is shrugging his shoulders, wondering what to do with the human race. I guess I got to save them for my name's sake. And so I don't really like them, but I'm going to save them anyway, just because if I don't, I'm going to look bad. As though God is fielding a situation that he didn't start. Like, where did all these people come from? What do they expect me to do? Save them? Okay, I guess I'll send my son. No, he started the whole thing. Keith and anyone else who thinks it this way, God started the whole thing in order to get to this place where he can bless us and he can laud us with grace. I see, God has already been lauded with grace. I mean, he's God, so he's been saturated with himself. He's been totally in love with himself, totally reveling in it, but no one to lavish it on. So God was the loneliest being in the universe. He was the only being in the universe. And so all creation came out of him through Christ. Christ was the firstborn of all creation. Get the order. God, Christ comes out of God, and everything else comes out of Christ. There is one God out of whom all is, one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom all is. But not in all is there this knowledge. That's 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yeah, the people who don't think Christ pre-existed, they don't have this knowledge yet. Maybe someday. I keep trying. So God created beings in order to lavish them with grace. It delights him. And this is in accord with God's delight. Keith and anyone else, for Ephesians chapter 1. We are called in accord with the delight of God. And again, it's not like God inherited a problem and now he has to deal with it. He started the problem. He started the sin to get to this point. He needed people to be enmeshed and in an inescapable mortality and inescapable sin so that he could bless them. It was all looking forward to the blessing. So as I go to Ephesians here, chapter 1, I will unwrap my chocolate. Tony's Choco Lonely. I'm in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ, according as he chooses us in him before the disruption of the world, we, to be holy and flawless in his sight, in love designating us beforehand for the place of his son, for him, through Christ. This is God being selfish. God is being selfish. He selfishly needs people and wants people to love him, to adore him, in accord with the delight of his will. See, according to the delight of his will, Keith. God wants to do this. He suffered through the first two eons. And now this wicked end is created in order to create this vacuum in humanity. The whole sin thing created a vacuum in humanity, and now God is answering that vacuum with Christ. And this is what he's been building toward. So Keith, you're almost acting as if like God has the problem. What do I do with these human beings? I guess I'll have to save them for my own name's sake. No, it's a delight for him. In accord with the delight of his will, And then verse 6, for the laud of the glory of his grace. If you want to look at it this way, if it'll help you, Keith, God's selfish. He wants all this happiness and joy and glory for himself. And the way he gets that is by blessing other creatures, creatures of his hands, human beings and spiritual beings. That's how he gets off. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't fool around. He blesses people. That's his thing. That's his hobby. That's what his constant obsession is, to lavish people with grace and to stun them. The last thing he wants is for you to look over at him and say, why are you doing this? And Keith, I've told you this many times. It's not about you, man. You know, and I think I got through to you a little bit on that. I had to be rough on you in some of my emails to you. It's not about you, bro. Why is he so nice to me? I told you, God's selfish. He's doing this for himself because he loves it. He loves it when you're happy about it. Nothing makes him happier than you being happy. If you look at his gift and scratch your head, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? You're taking away his thing, man. Don't screw it up for him. No, you can't screw it up for him. Well, yes, you can by second-guessing it. All right, what I have here is this orange wrapper thing. It's called Tony's Choco Lonely, but what kind is it? We got different colors here. I got a green. Oh, wow. Oh, this shit's amazing. Dang. What are you trying to do to me, bro? Okay, I see where it's labeled on the side now. This is milk chocolate, caramel, sea salt. Whew. The green one is milk chocolate, hazelnut. You're killing me, kid. Absolutely killing me. But I love it. Thank you. All right. I mean, this is top quality chocolate. I've never heard of this guy, Tony. Now I got chocolate over my hands. I'm going to get it on my scriptures. Let me tell you something, folks. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. For centuries, nobody had scriptures. Nobody had concordances. Nobody had commentaries. Nobody had word studies. All they had was teachers. And wait till I show you, looks like on Monday, how Paul was careful to pass his word on to Timothy. And he tells Timothy to pass it on to others who would be competent to teach others also. And in 2 Timothy, we see the beginning of the passing of the baton. I got so much to say on 2 Timothy. I'm going to have to save it for Monday. So prepare for that. I just can't wait to talk about it because that was the book. See, here I go. I'm talking about it already. Well, that was the book that I just so focused on that book when I was heard the call to start this work. So I knew you were out there. I knew all of you were out there. I didn't know any of your names yet. I didn't know the quality of the chocolate you would send me through the mail. I did not realize how lovely and generous and loving and careful students you all were. I'll never forget telling my wife. It really was a Field of Dreams moment. And anytime I got discouraged over the years, I would watch that movie again, Field of Dreams. It's not a movie about baseball. It's a movie about faith. It's like, if we build it, they will come. And I just told my wife, there are so many people out there that we need to meet. And I know they're out there. But unless we take this step out in faith, and unless I quit my postal service job to study this word full time, and I just knew there was such a desperate need out there for strong teaching, for teaching that would make these complicated scriptural issues easier to understand, not necessarily easy, but easier. And I had you in mind all the time, and here you are every day. It's incredible. It just justifies God. The whole thing justifies God. I look at God and I say, you, sir, are a genius. I honor and praise and glorify you. And Keith, that's what I want for you. Look at God. I honor, glorify, praise you, God, for doing this for me. And remember, God's doing it for his delight. It delights God that I'm making a show and you're listening to the show and you're watching the show. God is thrilled to death about the whole thing. He set it up both ways. And it's not that I don't learn. I learn from other people also. I mean, I read for years, for 8 years, I consumed the writings of other people before I spoke one word or wrote one word about God. I can give you a list of 10, 12 names. Okay. James Quorum, Dean Huff, A. Enoch, Adlai Lowdy, E. H. Clayton, John Essex, I mean, Andrew Jukes, The Restitution of All Things. So Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, we are thanking the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying concerning you, on hearing of your faith in Christ Jesus, in the love which you have for all the saints, because of the expectation reserved for you in the heavens, which you hear before in the word of truth of the evangel. How do they hear it? That's the question I'm driving for at the end of this show. Which being present with you, according as in the entire world also, is bearing fruit and growing, according as it is among you also, from the day on which you hear and realized the grace of God in truth, according as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a faithful dispenser of Christ for us, who makes evident also to us your love in spirit. Therefore, we also, from the day on which we hear, do not cease praying for you and requesting that you may be filled full with the realization of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So, according as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave. Who is this Epaphras guy? Friend of Paul's. Somebody who hung out with Paul. Somebody who heard the evangel from Paul. Somebody who stuck with Paul until he got it. Somebody drilled by Paul, educated by Paul, drilled by Paul, tested by Paul. Here's a multiple choice test based on what I told you. Epaphras takes the test. Dude, it was only 10 questions. You missed two. We're going to go over this again. So Paul goes over it again with Epaphras and other people, Apollos, and Epaphras finally gets it, finally passes the test, and Paul sends him off to the Colossians. And at that point, he can call him a beloved fellow slave and a faithful dispenser of Christ. But he had to get the teaching right. And you're going to see this in Timothy on Monday. You're going to see this. This is a different group of people. People like Epaphras and Timothy and Apollos and Titus. These are strange people. These are different people. Not everybody's called to be a teacher. And for some reason, Sheridan just did away with that. No, there's no such thing as teachers. And I don't know what it was. Was it envy? I don't know. I think Sheridan saw people subscribing to me, and he saw like my work being recognized, and I think, I don't know this for sure, I probably shouldn't even say this, but I think maybe he thought, who does Zender think he is? And I don't know, because then he ended up saying, there are no such thing as teachers. What are you doing, man? You were once a teacher, weren't you? But it's almost like this spiritual communism where nobody can take a role of leadership. We don't need any leaders. We don't? Hell yes, we do. We do. But the inference is that the leaders are somehow setting themselves up. Like the leaders like grew up ever since they were kids. I want to be a leader. I just want to be a leader. It's a calling. Unless you're called to be one, you're not one. And if you are called to be one, you'll be one. It's a complete calling of God. And now I'm almost apologizing for it. But no, I'm not. I refuse to apologize for being a teacher in the body of Christ. A person who is qualified, who has been tested and who people find faithful and hasn't changed the teaching in 31 years. I am happy about it, and you should be happy about it, and no one out there should be feeling guilty that they're not it, or that they just don't have the disposition to break the ice of the scripture. It's a tough book. It's difficult. So you're doing the right thing by getting the truth here. And I'm not saying any of this to justify myself or to lift myself up. I hope you know that's the farthest thing from my mind. It's just relieving people who feel guilt that they're not the students they think they ought to be. I ought to be. I should do this. I ought to do this. Why don't I do this? Because you're not meant to do it. I'm meant to do this, and you're meant to do what you're doing. And it's all a dance, and God's the choreographer. It is a beautiful production. Everyone's playing their part, everyone. And this is a dance. It's a performance. It's a great masterpiece that will, the fruit of which will just rebound and redound through the eons in God. And we're all going to look back on it and say, everyone did everything perfectly.